Chapter 2. I beg your pardon, apostrophe he said. I thought it was my relative come to look after me. She often comes about this time. Apostrophe, he continued to look at her, and forget the sun, just such a reciprocity of influence as might have been expected between a dark lady and a flaxen-haired youth making itself apparent in the faces of each. Don't let me interrupt your observations, apostrophe said she. Ah, no, apostrophe said he, again applying his eye, whereupon his face lost the animation which her presence had lent it, and became immutable as that of a bust, though superadding to the serenity of repose the sensitiveness of life. The expression that settled on him was one of awe. Not unaptly might it have been said, that he was worshipping the sun. Among the various intensities of that worship which have prevailed since the first intelligent being saw the luminary decline westward, as the young man now beheld it doing, his was not the weakest. He was engaged in what may be called a very chastened, or schooled form of that first and most natural of adorations. But would you like to see it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he recommenced. It is an event that is witnessed only about once in 2 or 3 years, though it may occur often enough. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she assented, and looked through the shaded eyepiece, and saw a whirling mass, in the center of which the blazing globe seemed to be laid bare to its core. It was a peep into a maelstrom of fire, taking place where nobody had ever been, or ever would be. It is the strangest thing I ever beheld, apostrophe she said. Then he looked again, till wondering who her companion could be, she asked, are you often here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, every night, when it is not cloudy, and often in the day. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, night, of course. The heavens must be beautiful from this point. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they are rather more than that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, indeed. Have you entirely taken possession of this column? Apostrophe, entirely. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but it is my column, apostrophe, she said, with smiling asperity. Then are you Lady Constantine, wife of the absent Sir Blount Constantine? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am Lady Constantine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, then I agree, that it is your ladyship's. But will you allow me to rent it of you for a time, Lady Constantine? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have taken it, whether I allow it or not. However, in the interests of science it is advisable, that you continue your tenancy. Nobody knows you are here, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hardly anybody. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he then took her down a few steps into the interior, and showed her some ingenious contrivances for stowing articles away. Nobody ever comes near the column, or, as it's called here, Rings Hill Spear, apostrophe, he continued. And when I first came up it nobody had been here for 30 or 40 years. The staircase was choked with daws' nests and feathers, but I cleared them out. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I understood the column was always kept locked? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, it has been so. When it was built, in 1782 the key was given to my great-grandfather, to keep by him in case visitors should happen to want it. He lived just down there where I live now. Apostrophe, he denoted by a nod a little dell lying immediately beyond the plowed land which environed them. He kept it in his bureau, and as the bureau descended to my grandfather, my mother, and myself, the key descended with it. After the first 30 or 40 years, nobody ever asked for it. One day I saw it, lying rusty in its niche, and, finding that it belonged to this column, I took it and came up. I stayed here till it was dark, and the stars came out, and that night I resolved to be an astronomer. I came back here from school several months ago, and I mean to be an astronomer still. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he lowered his voice, and added. I aim at nothing less than the dignity and office of astronomer royal, if I live. Perhaps I shall not live. apostrophe, I don't see why you should suppose that, apostrophe said she. How long are you going to make this your observatory? Apostrophe, apostrophe, about a year longer till I have obtained a practical familiarity with the heavens. Ah, if I only had a good equatorial. Apostrophe, what is that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a proper instrument for my pursuit. But time is short, and science is infinite. How infinite only those who study astronomy fully realize, and perhaps I shall be worn out before I make my mark. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she seemed to be greatly struck by the odd mixture in him of scientific earnestness and melancholy mistrust of all things human. Perhaps it was owing to the nature of his studies. You are often on this tower alone at night? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said. Yes, at this time of the year particularly, and while there is no moon. I observe from 7 or 8 till about 2 in the morning, with a view to my great work on variable stars. But with such a telescope as this, well, I must put up with it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, can you see Saturn's ring and Jupiter's moons? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said dryly, that he could manage to do that, not without some contempt for the state of her knowledge. I have never seen any planet or star through a telescope. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if you will come the first clear night, Lady Constantine, I will show you any number. I mean, at your express wish, not otherwise. Apostrophe, I should like to come, and possibly may at some time. These stars that vary so much, sometimes evening stars, sometimes morning stars, sometimes in the east, and sometimes in the west, have always interested me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, now there is a reason for your not coming. Your ignorance of the realities of astronomy is so satisfactory that I will not disturb it except at your serious request. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but I wish to be enlightened. Apostrophe, apostrophe, let me caution you against it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is enlightenment on the subject then so terrible? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she laughingly declared that nothing could have so piqued her curiosity as his statement, and turned to descend. He helped her down the stairs, and through the briers. He would have gone further, and crossed the open corn land with her, but she preferred to go alone. He then retraced his way to the top of the column, but, instead of looking longer at the sun, watched her diminishing towards the distant fence, behind which waited the carriage. When in the midst of the field, a dark spot on an area of brown, there crossed her path a moving figure, whom it was as difficult to distinguish from the earth he trod as the caterpillar from its leaf, by reason of the excellent match between his clothes and the clods. He was one of a dying out generation who retained the principle, nearly unlearned now, that a man's habiliments should be in harmony with his environment. Lady Constantine and this figure halted beside each other for some minutes, then they went on their several ways. The brown person was a laboring man known to the world of well and as Amos, the encrusted form of the word Amos. To adopt the phrase of philologists, the reason of the halt had been some inquiries addressed to him by Lady Constantine. Who is that Amos Fry, I think? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, he had asked. Yes, my lady, apostrophe, said Amos, a homely barley driller, born under the eaves of your ladyship's outbuildings, in a manner of speaking, though your ladyship was neither born nor tempted at that time. Apostrophe, apostrophe, who lives in the old house behind the plantation? Apostrophe, apostrophe, old Gammer Martin, my lady, and her grandson. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he has neither father nor mother, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a single one, my lady. Apostrophe, apostrophe, where was he educated? Apostrophe, apostrophe, at Warburn, a place where they draw up young gamsters' brains like rhubarb under a ninepenny pan, my lady, excusing my common way. They hid so much learning in 2N that it could talk like the day of Pentecost, which is a wonderful thing for a simple boy, and his mother only the plainest ciphering woman in the world. Warburn Grammar School, that's where Twas-a went to. His father, the Reverend Passon St. Cleve, made a terrible bruckle hit in S marrying, in the sight of the high. He were the curate here, my lady, for a length o' time. Apostrophe apostrophe O, curate, apostrophe said Lady Constantine. It was before I knew the village. Apostrophe apostrophe A, long and merry ago. And he married Farmer Martin's daughter Giles Martin, a limberish man, who used to go rather bad upon his lacks, if you can mind. I knowed the man well enough, who should know and better. The maid was a poor windling thing, and, though a playward piece o' flesh when he married her, a socked and sighed, and went out like a snuff. Yes, my lady. Well, when Passon St. Cleve married this homespun woman, the toppermost folk wouldn't speak to his wife. Then he dropped a cuss or two, and said he'd no longer get his living by curing their twopenny souls o' such de-nonsense as that, excusing my common way, and he took to farming straightway, and then a dropped down dead in a nor'west thunderstorm, it being said he, that Master God was in tantrums whyin' for leaving his service, he. I give the story as I heard it, my lady, but be dazed, if I believe in such trumpery about folks in the sky, nor anything else that's said on them, good or bad. Well, Swithin, the boy, was sent to the grammar school, as I say for, but what with having two stations of life in his blood he's good for nothing, my lady. He mopes about sometimes here, and sometimes there, nobody troubles about N. Apostrophe apostrophe, Lady Constantine thanked her informant, and proceeded onward. To her, as a woman, the most curious feature in the afternoon's incident was that this lad, of striking beauty, scientific attainments, and cultivated bearing, should be linked, on the maternal side, with a local agricultural family through his father's matrimonial eccentricity. A more attractive feature in the case was that the same youth, so capable of being ruined by flattery, blandishment, pleasure, even gross prosperity, should be at present living on in a primitive Eden of unconsciousness, with aims towards whose accomplishment a Caliban shape would have been as effective as his own. 2. Swithin St. Cleve lingered on at his post, until the more sanguine birds of the plantation, already recovering from their midwinter anxieties, piped a short evening hymn to the vanishing sun. The landscape was gently concave. With the exception of tower and hill, there were no points on which late rays might linger, and hence the dish-shaped 90 acres of tilled land assumed a uniform hue of shade quite suddenly. The one or two stars that appeared were quickly clouded over, and it was soon obvious that there would be no sweeping the heavens that night. After tying a piece of tarpaulin, which had once seen service on his maternal grandfather's farm, over all the apparatus around him, he went down the stairs in the dark, and locked the door. With the key in his pocket he descended through the underwood on the side of the slope opposite to that trodden by Lady Constantine, and crossed the field in a line mathematically straight, and in a manner that left no traces, by keeping in the same furrow all the way on tiptoe. In a few minutes he reached a little dell, which occurred quite unexpectedly on the other side of the field fence, and descended to a venerable thatched house, whose enormous roof, broken up by dormers as big as haycocks, could be seen even in the twilight. Over the white walls, built of chalk in the lump, outlines of creepers form dark patterns, as if drawn in charcoal. Inside the house his maternal grandmother was sitting by a wood fire. Before it stood a pipkin, in which something was evidently kept warm. An 8-legged oak table in the middle of the room was laid for a meal. This woman of 80, in a large mob cap, under which she wore a little cap, to keep the other clean, retained faculties but little blunted. She was gazing into the flames, with her hands upon her knees, quietly reenacting in her brain certain of the long chain of episodes, pathetic, tragical, and humorous, which had constituted the parish history for the last 60 years. On Swithin's entry she looked up at him in a sideway direction. "You should not have waited for me, Granny," apostrophe he said. "'Tis of no account, my child. I've had a nap while sitting here. Yes, I've had a nap, and went straight up into my old country again, as usual. The place was as natural as when I left it, and just 80 years ago. All the folks and my old aunt were there, as when I was a child, yet I suppose, if I were really to set out and go there, hardly a soul would be left alive to say to me, dog how art. But tell Anna to stir her stumps, and serve supper, though I'd fain do it myself, the poor old soul is getting so unhandy. Anna revealed herself to be much nimbler, and several years younger than Granny, though of this the latter seemed to be oblivious. When the meal was nearly over, Mrs. Martin produced the contents of the mysterious vessel by the fire, saying that as he had caused it to be brought in from the back kitchen, because Anna was hardly to be trusted with such things, she was becoming so childish. "What is it, then?" said Swithin. "Oh, one of your special puddings." At sight of it, however, he added reproachfully, "Now, Granny." Instead of being round, it was in shape an irregular boulder that had been exposed to the weather for centuries. A little scrap pared off here, and a little piece broken away there, the general aim being, nevertheless, to avoid destroying the symmetry of the pudding, while taking as much as possible of its substance. "The fact is," added Swithin, "the pudding is half gone. I've only sliced off the merest paring once or twice, to taste if it was well done." Pleaded Granny Martin, with wounded feelings. "I said to Anna, when she took it up, put it here to keep it warm, as there's a better fire than in the back kitchen." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.